This Age of Radio podcast is brought to you by The Bazaar. The Bazaar is the Age of Radio affiliate store, and right now, The Bazaar has a special offer on the Great Courses Plus. The Great Courses Plus is a subscription video on-demand service with thousands of in-depth videos taught by the world's greatest professors. You'll always find something fascinating to learn about. With categories ranging from history to travel and everything in between, there's something for everyone. If you go to ageofradio.org/darkwindows, there's an offer to get the Great Courses Plus free for 14 days. Stay ahead in life. Start your access today with 11,000 plus video and audio lectures on a range of topics.
I'm Kevin H.
I'm Kevin C.
And I'm Seth.
And this is the
Dark Windows Podcast.
So just a disclaimer, we are going to talk about some things that people might not be super comfortable with. We're going to use some
language.
A language that people are not going to be super comfortable with.
That's adult language. Expletives.
So sit back.
Relax.
And enjoy the show.
Or not. That's cool too.
We want to start out by saying a special thank you to our sponsor, Studio Headphones. Studio offers some of the best quality sound and best built headphones on the market without the outrageous prices that other brands offer.
They offer a variety of different styles, including over-the-ear, wired earbuds, and completely wireless Bluetooth buds. The two newest models are the Klar, which are over-the-ear noise-canceling headphones that offer 30 hours of playtime. Hold on, 30 hours continuous playtime without being recharged.
And the Tolv, which are totally wireless Bluetooth earbuds that offer 7 hours of playtime in a case that holds 4 additional charges for the buds.
So check out studio.com where you will find some of the best quality headphones and earbuds on the market. And if you enter Dark Windows 15 at checkout, they will take 15% off your entire order.
Welcome back.
What's going on, everybody?
What's up, you bunch of beautiful dickheads?
Welcome to the show.
That was aggressive, Seth.
Yeah, right now.
Beautiful dickheads.
Yeah, you know why? Because I'm punchy because I'm tired. We're recording late. We just saw somebody tackle Bret Hart
in
the Hall of Fame.
We're trying to figure out who the fuck that woman was that got in there and like...
in the gold dress.
Smashed this dude's face.
So I'm not apologetic. And plus, I said they're a bunch of beautiful dickheads. So that's, you know, a positive.
He said beautiful.
I mean, it could be worse. Could have been like, hey, you wonderful cunts. That's just mean.
No, man, it's all good.
That's mean, man.
Because
like
we're,
it.
You know, being I'm being nice.
Okay, that's
yeah.
True enough.
And I love our fans.
So speaking of fans.
What's up?
I heard you made a new one at Adepticon because you sold him a fucking hobby holder.
I did?
Yeah.
Who?
Shane.
No, I didn't.
I thought he bought one.
No, I bought it for him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah, fuck
well,
your face.
Speaking of Shane and hobby holders.
Yeah. So if you don't know what the hobby holder is yet, you've heard about it from time in and time out from my dumb mouth. Head on over to GameEnvy.net and look at a hobby holder. Hobby holder is a 2-in-1 handle and base combination little unit to help you get all that beautiful little nuances or just make sure that you don't touch your miniature while you're painting while it's still wet. Head on over there and find what you like that. Like a brush beam, brush bashing, paint puck, all these different variety of cool little hobby tools. Put all that stuff in your checkout cart. Put in the promo code BROADSTONEFOLKS at checkout and you'll save yourself 10% off the entire order.
I'm actually going to use mine this coming week now that I got the Rumble Slam dudes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty pumped for that.
So, on that note.
Hi, buddy.
Welcome back. We missed you.
We did.
I wasn't gone.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure I did a food episode. And I thought you would have chimed in on food episodes because we've all established we're fat fucks. Delicious, beautiful fat fucks.
We are fat fucks. But, Kevin, what are we doing this week, buddy?
Yeah, what are we coming back with?
Monsters.
What kind of monsters?
Like the drink?
Yeah.
Like the blue shit that Seth's drinking?
Exactly.
Yeah. I went low carb because I was like, it's getting late. I don't need full octane.
Yeah, I don't need all the carbs, but the fucking energy bullshit would keep a normal person up for 6 years is totally fine.
Yeah, I'll be going to sleep as soon as I finish this.
You fucking creep.
Fuck you. Anyway. What kind of monsters?
I do the same thing. So.
You don't drink energy drinks. I've never seen you drink an energy drink in my entire life. Not yours, mine.
I have.
Once.
But then when it made me pee orange,
Oh, I the fucking like, rock star
I was
shit?
Like, yeah, no, I'm done.
You see? You, so that means that you can't drink one of these and then go right to bed.
I could drink a coffee, though.
The thing is,
though, coffee's different. That's for
you don't buy Rockstar, you rent it. Because it comes out the same color that it goes in.
You guys are crazy.
Dude, no. It was Rockstar because the fucking rep came down and he's like, hey, you guys want to try this? And we're like, yeah, sure. Fuck it. It's free stuff. Can you know? Because we work at a convenience store, so neither one of us have enough money to buy an actual drink. So screw it. Yeah.
So I'm not going to lie, dude. I can drink any of that shit. And it doesn't affect me any.
Ugh. No.
But let's talk about your kind of monsters, not what I'm drinking.
Monsters. Monsters of that are real or fake. I don't know. But I'm going to cover a...
What kind of fucking intro is that? What the fuck?
They might be real.
You're the cryptid person on this show. You're supposed to be like, I got some monsters. You know what's great about them? They're elusive. That means we don't know if they're here, but they are.
But this one might be fake.
Yeah. Sweet fuck. If we think it's fake, then why are we talking about it?
Listen.
You silly bitch.
I'm not saying they're fake, but it's a possibility that they're fake.
This one I don't think can physically be real, the one you're about to talk about.
Getting soft on me.
Is it not a bobcat snake? Because that's what the pictures look like.
It's a snake cat bob. No. No, I don't know.
It's a Robert cat snake.
Ooh.
Bobcat, snow cat, waith?
Yeah.
Wait, bobcat, snake waith. Like Bobcat Goldthwait, well, whatever his name is.
So that'd be Bobcat Goldthwait with like a really weird like hissy thing in his voice?
Sure, let's go with that.
I don't like that at all.
So if we're not sure on that one, but that's okay. But I'm really sure on all this rest of this part.
Okay,
because
cool.
I'm covering this week for my part of what we're covering, dibbing European monsters in quotes.
Yes,
I chose to cover for this show the Tetzelworm or Tetzelworm.
Tetzelworm, tinsel yes. Worm. That's what you put on your Christmas tree.
It's spelled TATZELWURM.
What about a utensil worm?
No.
Like a worm made out of forks and shit. No.
Oh, no. You take your kitchen knives, you put them all together, one big long thing, a little bit of solder, boom, tinsel worm.
Yeah.
Ooh. Punchy.
Anyway.
So the reason why I chose this worm.
So does this thing lay eggs or shit in a box?
Both. Shut the fuck up!
I deserve that.
Yeah, you kind of did. That was rude, man. Wow.
It's a layer. Egg box shit in a layer, fucking whatever.
What it does is it sleeps in a box and then shits an egg out in that said box.
Yeah. Listen, it's got a big, huge fucking cat litter box.
Yeah, you fuck.
That lays eggs in. So anyway, I chose this beast simply because I never heard of it before. And maybe also because, well, of the name.
And also because it's German.
and we've established before, you have German heritage.
I know, but that's okay.
Yeah, dude. I don't care.
Not only German though. It spans the length of the Alps. So, but I'll get into that.
Okay, cool.
So while I was doing research on this, I came across two things. One of them I thought was kind of cool, or it was cool, and the other one I was like, "Kill me now."
Okay.
The first one.
Hold on. 1 second. That can be arranged. I mean,
no.
Oh, just, okay.
Just,
shit.
Just. So the first one was came out in 1987, which was a RPG game called Tetzelworm. Some German company was like, "Hey, we want to make a game about this.
Let's make a worm game." Oh yeah, what kind of worm? Like, you know, one of those big like earth crawler things, or one of those other? No, man, Tetzelworm. A what now?
Spetzel worm.
Ah, dude, I love Spetzel.
Me too.
They came out with a game during that time period of where RPGs were like really huge, or at least, well, I think they were huge, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, this would have been like Dungeons and Dragons getting real big. Like, now were these guys trying to compete with it, or like, hey, I bet we can do it too.
Bet we can do it too, I think.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Pretty sure.
Spoilers. Spoiler alert. Dungeons & Dragons
is
still around.
No, this is still around. You can still buy this game.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
Huh. Yes. The second one, which I said was I wasn't too so enthused with, that I actually wanted to gouge my eyes out and like go blind after for seeing it and hearing it, was a band.
Oh, you told me about these guys. I didn't listen to them yet.
They called themselves Tetzelworm. And they're a black metal band from Germany.
African American.
No.
No, black metal.
Black metal band from Germany. Yeah, Yeah, they were really, really bad.
I mean,
all I could hear was like the guitar going, wail, 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 and then the guy's going,
yeah, that's fucking death metal. So that's black death metal.
So it sounds like black metal.
Or death metal. Or grindcore. Or
listen to Immortal. I bet it sounds exactly the same.
I don't know, but what all you can hear is just
or
the
Mayhem.
Guitar just going, rah, 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 or just playing the guitar, and I'm also just hear the guy going, la, 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 la,
yeah,
la. I'm like, oh my god!
Yeah.
See, you're just not a fan of, you know, metal music. It's cool.
It's like somebody butt sexing a guitar and then a cat yowling. That's black metal.
I'm a fan of metal music, you know, but
Metallica's not metal.
No. I like Amon Amarth and Metalhead.
Fuck Metallica.
Machine Head's good. Amon Amarth is good because they tell a good story. Anyway.
You know, I like a lot of them. But this is, I just was like, yeah. It's like, as I said, you know, as I wrote down, it's like, it was like nails on a chalkboard for me. I'm going, oh.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, now let's talk about this worm because now I'm really kind of curious about what it's going to be.
So, this creature is said to be found, like I said before, in the Alps from Germany all the way down to Italy. It is described to be a serpent-like creature that only has front legs, it's scaly, and it looks like a cat. It is said that this creature is between 2 to 6 feet long. Probably like the 2 feet is a little tiny one.
A little wee little babe.
Yeah, babe to 6-footer, which is full grown or a male.
A mature adult.
It is also, in addition to this, all these features, it also has yellow eyes like a cat. It is and also, according to some of the research I found, it has the ability to expel fumes that are harmful enough to kill a human.
So, a fart.
Basically, it's like a like a goddamn possum.
An awesome possum?
You know, you get too close to the possum, turns around, shoots a jet
I think
of,
the word you're looking for is skunk.
Yeah, skunks shoot the spray. Possums, they play dead if
yeah,
they
know,
get scared
you know
or those, run.
You know skunks, how they play dead and shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I was thinking, yeah, I was picturing skunk.
All right, folks, possum. We're going to call it a night. Good night, everybody.
I'm leaving that in, by the way.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You're going to get so much shit.
I know.
I mean, possums smell, but they don't make smell.
Well, I fucking wouldn't know.
Well, they do make a smell, but usually it's
after
not that they don't spray
hit
it.
With a fucking shovel behind a dumpster.
Yeah.
But here's my thing is, how the fuck do they know that they produce this gas that can kill a human? So would they find a human that was just dead? Uh-oh. Must have been the tuts of them.
You test it. You put it in a cage and you make it fucking air shit in somebody's face and they just bleh, dead.
Or, you know, there was two people there. One got blasted and, you know, got bukkake'd. And the other one ran. He's like, oh my god. He comes back and he's all melted and shit.
Like fucking Raiders.
Fuck yeah, it could work.
That's what it was.
What?
In Raiders, they opened up the fucking Ark and there was a Tetzel worm in there and shitted and killed all those Nazis.
Or, it's one of those things, it's one of those acid spitters.
Mongolian death worm.
One of the fucking things that, like,
that's
in Jurassic Park. That
they didn't actually do that, though, which kind of sucks.
Oh, okay, whatever, fuck them then.
Yeah, they had the neck frill thing, but they didn't actually spin anything.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Fucking science makes me sad.
Nature makes me sad.
So, this little beastie didn't only go by the name of Tetzel worm, just because of where it spanned from, being from Italy to Germany. It also went by four different names, something like that. The first one is Stolen Worm, which means tunnel worm. Then there's Dazzle Worm. I could be pronouncing it wrong.
Dazzle Worm!
But it's
the little front, little digits do the spirit fingers. It goes,
yes!
Sparklers.
Good. Or is that like its special attack? It kind of like gets up on its snake ass and does jazz hands at you?
Spirit oh, fingers. Dude, yeah, and then what it does, it will, like, since it's a utensil worm, it's already shiny anyway, so it's already got the sparkle.
So wait, it's also in Italy? So it's a spetzel worm. Is it also like a lasagna snake?
Could be.
Awesome.
Manicotti worm?
Ooh.
Mancon worm?
I like manicotti worm. I eat a fucking ton of those.
Mm.
Anyway.
So.
I'm sorry. Some of this shit is so goofy that we have to pick on it.
So how this is spelled is D-A-A-Z-E-L-W-U-R-M. And then the next one is Arassus, A-R-A-S-S-A-S.
That sounds like a fucking demon.
Not to me. Urassus? Means like, wow, that stinks. What is that? Your asses.
It's our asses. All our asses stink.
The next one is the...
Especially those possums.
Fart possums.
Welcome back. Oh, I can't wait for yours. I'm going to just be as mean to you as I am to him.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So the next one, next name it has is the pretzel worm.
Pretzel worm?
No, no. See? I foreshadowed, my brain was like, hey, they're going to say pretzel worm.
That's the thing that's ready.
You fucking, goddammit.
I can't make this up. I know. This is what they said.
The worst part is you could tell this is easily shit that's real because of just how fucking outlandish it is.
Yeah.
And that's why assholes like us have a show.
It's spelled P-R-A-A-T-Z-E-L-W-U-R-M.
Pretzel.
And then the last one is spring worm.
That's means dumb.
Jumping worm.
Uh-huh.
What is that? He's the spring worm. What does it do? It jumps. Really? You just called it a spring worm? You find more creative?
You put duck sauce on it.
I thought that was the last one, but I can't
made a spring roll joke. Yes.
What?
I said I made a spring roll joke. We're talking about food and fucking cat worms and shit.
I thought I had the last. That was the last one, but no, it's not. The last one is the Bergstutzen, which is spelled B-E-R-G-S-T-U-T-Z-E-N.
Sounds like an Indiana Jones villain.
This is the mountain stump.
They make.
Oh, dude, that's a great name.
those guys make really good hiking shoes, too.
Do they?
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds like a company that would make hiking boots.
I thought it was an Indiana Jones bad guy. Who's that? Bergstutzen. What does he do? You don't want to know.
He's a fucking Nazi. He's a bad guy in an Indiana Jones movie. Jesus Christ, we have to explain.
Jesus, get out of here.
Fuck Harrison, get your shit together.
So according to us, one of the sources that when I was doing my research, they claimed that there was a photograph of the creature that was taken by a Swiss photographer. I almost said photographer.
You just did.
I almost said that.
You know, you can always just say... Cut this part out. Let's restart.
No, fuck no. Again.
Skunk.
I'm leaving it in there.
So. Welcome back.
Listen, fuck you.
We're going to make you sound like an asshole.
Aw.
Shit happens. I mean,
you're kind of doing it yourself, but it's just making it more fun for us.
Whatever.
Anyway.
If it works, go with it.
Exactly. We're going to.
So
we'll make it work.
So anyway.
On the photographer.
The goddamn photographer. His last name was Balkin. B-A-L-K-I-N. This is taken in 1934. And according to the article, he claimed that he was taking a picture of what he thought was a peculiar log.
He's a Balkin. Instead of...
A Balkan?
A Balkan from the Baltics?
You just took all the fun out of it.
You kind of did hit you with some reality there.
Damn it. You and your fucking geography.
Checkmate.
But he's from... No.
I was instead of doing
he's
this.
He's Swiss. He's not from the Baltics.
So what you don't know is, I don't know if he's going to cut this in, he was trying to do the Vulcan hand thing, but what he did is he turned his hands into the letter B.
But I can't do the Vulcan thing because I've got like...
You got dumb hands.
I got... Hands that don't work good. I can do them if I turn him into L's, though. See, like, now it's a V. Actually, hold on. Oh, I can do W, bitch. Perfectly.
Whoa. So,
now we're throwing...
Anyway.
So this went from us talking about a German monster to throwing fucking gang signs at each other. And he can actually spell blood with his hands.
Fire. Yeah, I shouldn't be... And I could also do the crit, but I...
And it's also just because you're red, that's all.
No, it's because I was taught that. But that's a story for another day.
Anyway, so he thought it was a peculiar log when he was taking the picture. And then when the flash went off, the little sumbitch, like, ran away.
I mean, I've left a few peculiar logs places. They didn't run away, though.
So here's my thing is, like, if this thing was scared, I'm surprised it didn't do a stank spray and then run away to kill this dude. So it's like, gone.
It's like an octopus with farts instead of ink.
Yes.
Well, that's what we said, though, is like it sprayed it and it can kill people. So
it's just like instead of saying, oh, you inked me, it's like, oh, you shit on me.
You shitted me.
And now I'm dead. I'm DED.
And you never get that smell out of your clothes either. No matter, it's like cat piss. No matter how many times you wash them, it's just there. Oh, God.
So the sightings for this creature,
let's restart that paragraph, shall we?
No, leave it in. He's cool with it, apparently.
Oh, by the way, I have a thing coming for when we fucks up.
Titties!
No, even better.
Oh.
Because we can't steal that because another show on our network already does that.
So. I know, but it's a great idea.
It is a great idea. I was thinking about just yelling balls, but eh.
Gooch?
So, okay, so sightings.
Yes.
So, first one was by, well, one of the first ones was by a Swiss naturalist named Friedrich von Stutzen.
Dusseldorf.
No.
Oh.
Stutzendini?
Hans Doofenshmirtz?
T-S-C-H-U-N-D-I.
I'm not even going to fucking wager a guess on that one, Alex.
Stuchendi? I don't know. Anyway.
Stuchendi.
Whatever.
Perfect.
He was convinced of the reality of this creature and wrote in a book in 1861, quote, in Bernese Oberden in the Jura, J-U-R-A.
The Jura Mountains?
Yeah.
Sure.
The belief is widespread that there exists a sort of cave worm in quotes, which is thick, 30 to 90 centimeters long, and has two short legs. It appears at the approach of storms after a long dry spell.
Has this guy seen my dick?
No, what I was actually starting to laugh at is like this kind of reminds me of during those Cabinet Curiosities when they take two animals and like sew them together.
Fiji mermaid.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've seen the original, which is fucking awesome.
So that's why I'm like in my head, I'm imagining that, but with a cat front and a snake bottom. It's just like, oh, we have this python. Cut its head off. Okay, we have a cat. Glue it together.
Cut its ass off.
Pretty much.
And he goes on to say that in 1828, a peasant in the Solothurn?
Yep.
Solothurn, Canton found one in a dried up marsh and put it aside, intending to take it to Professor Hugi. But in the meantime, the crows ate it in half. The skeleton was taken to the town of Solothurn, where they could not decide what it was, and sent it to Heidelberg, where all traces of it was lost. So
one of those things, they had the evidence, supposedly sent it to this place, and in transit, like we've seen with the previous, like the footprints for the little demons.
Jimmy Stewart with the Bigfoot scalp.
Yeah, that, you know, they go in transit, like when they're in transit, all of a sudden somehow they come up missing.
Or they go to some place and then all of a sudden they just come up missing, like
giant skeletons in the Smithsonian.
I just said that, you know, transit going from point A to point B and they come up missing. That's what I said.
I was just saying that I was making a point of the giants in the Smithsonian.
You're killing me.
No, for realies.
Yeah.
No, for real. So, the next sighting, an Austrian schoolmaster who came across one in 1929 whilst exploring a cave on the Tempelmeyer, believed it to be a giant salamander. He said, quote,
I could get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, quote, I started to look for the entrance to the cave. Suddenly, I saw a snake-like animal sprawled on the rotting foliage that covered the ground. Its skin was almost white, not covered by scales, but smooth. The head was flat, and two very short feet on the fore part of the body were visible. He goes on to say, my, in quotes, tetzel worm did not have large claws, but short and atrophied looking feet. His length did not exceed 40 to 45 centimeters. Most probably, the tetzel worm is a rare variety of salamander living in the moist caves and only rarely coming into the light of day.
Well, that kind of makes sense because that's what a lot of people, like a lot of scientists think that the myth of like the kappa in Japan is fucking like those like 5 foot long salamanders that will actually pull people into the water.
Yeah, and I kind of believe that because, what was it, Anthony Bourdain was in Jamaica and they went to a bunch of caverns and they're like, oh yeah, there's so much, you know, unmarked territory in these caverns that we're finding new species of insects and bacteria every day.
Yeah.
That they go down for like 18 miles or something like that, and they can find something else and go down like another 10 miles and they find more, that it's, you know, constantly going because no one really knows what's down there.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. It's like the Earth's ocean, you know?
Yeah.
We know more about fucking space. Mars than we do about our own ocean.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about.
So the next sighting was the 1930s by a guy that was a doctor. His name was Gerhard Vensmeer. And, oh, doctor, I'm sorry. So it was by Dr. Gerhard Vensmeer and Hans Fulcher. They collected the evidence of 60 witnesses. All agreed it was between 30 to 60 centimeters, so 1 to 2 feet long, cylindrical in shape with the tail ending abruptly. It had a large blunt head that grew directly into the body with no narrowing of the neck area. The eyes were large and the body scaled. It hissed like a snake. So that's kind of...
That's fascinating.
It's weird because it almost does sound like a salamander.
Yeah, and these are, you know, scientific professionals, you know, or people of like high repute rather than like, say, no offense, us. If we saw it, we'd be like, oh, what's this thing?
Oh, none taken, by the way.
Are you a scientist?
God, no. I didn't even fucking play one on TV.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, though, is like these guys have no reason to lie about this stuff. And yeah, there's some crazies out there, but whatever. But still, it's like kind of makes you wonder because what they're describing is... Never seen it before.
Yeah. It's weird.
Then in 1969, two naturalists found the skeleton of a lizard-like animal in the Alps near Domo...
Origato.
Mr.
Domo do Sola. I'll spell it. Domodossola. It's in Italy.
Well, the reference I made was Japan. fuck.
So one of the naturalists, Giuseppe Constale, saw gray crested reptile moving in a zigzag fashion on Pizzo Corina in the same area on two occasions in 1991 and 1992.
Fucking Giuseppe. Wow.
Yeah. And then in 2000, a large skeleton was forwarded to a local college. Some scientists said it was at this time that the first physical proof of the alpine tsetse worm, you know, came about. Along with the skeleton came a sizable donation as well. The original owner of the skeleton remains a mystery. The law firm of the Gunterhaus LTD in Germany handled the donation and refuses to divulge the name of the contributor or why the Geneva Institute was selected to be the recipient. Kind of a little weird, but interesting.
Maybe that's kind of like their version of almost like the Smithsonian or something like that, where it's like a natural history museum or some shit. Who knows?
So and then the people in Trecivio in the Valtellina Valley. Jeez, I can't.
I'm just like.
Sorry, man.
I'm just entertained listening to you try.
I'll spell the V word there. Valtellina.
Just as a spoiler alert for you and the listeners, my pronunciations aren't going to be any better, and mine are fucking Russian.
Yeah.
Hooray!
So this is a region of Italy on the Swiss border. And there was repeated sightings of an unusual creature described as an agile bipedal lizard. about a meter tall and nearly 2 meters long.
Wait a minute.
Oof.
Tall, two-legged lizard.
It's Tetzel.
Swiss frogmen. Swiss Army frogmen.
Ooh.
That's me flipping off these boys, because there's no unknown businessman licking these things, as we know.
Unknown scientist.
Oh, okay. Did he lick them?
No. No, no. Mm.
Fingered him. No.
So the first sighting the paper reported was in the summer of 2000. Oh, my God.
So you have to use the whole hand there, Doc?
So in the summer of 2009, a paper had reported one of the first sightings, and they said, quote, was regarded as an isolated incident and had been made a few years ago. A young student of an agricultural science class spotted the animal. But at that time, nobody believed her. Now, an assistant researcher, she stands by her report. She says, quote, I was not dreaming. I saw it clearly with my own eyes. It approached me, walking on its hind legs. The anterior legs were very small. It resembled a prehistoric velociraptor, and generally it was like a monitor lizard. Yet while monitors have move on four legs, this one went upright. Its back was nearly 8 centimeters above the ground, with the head nearly a meter. I guess it was 1.5 or 2 meters long.
It was hard to tell through the distortion of the fucking whiskey bottle, but
being a researcher, and you know, they can
still be drunks. I'm a researcher.
That's true.
yeah.
I Irished my coffee this morning, so close enough, I guess.
And that's why he hasn't left the house all day.
Fuck no.
Oh my goodness. So there was a couple stories that went along with this also that I found. And the first one, there were two well-known tales of the legend of the Tetzel worm. The first, as I said, two of them. The first one follows of that of a young girl who was walking on a farm in Switzerland chopping down bean poles, when she accidentally disturbed the burrow of a Tetzel worm and was attacked. The Tetzel worm in this account was described as being of a gray coloration and about the size of a common domesticated cat, with a fleshy, hairless body and only sports two front legs.
Fleshy, hairless body.
The Tetzel worm's like, get away from my bean poles, motherfucker!
According to the story of that, the Tetzel worm glared at the girl, and she ran away, describing big, bright eyes too intense to meet. The second story tells of a man and his son out gathering herbs in the mountains when the man...
Herbs?
Maybe they were gathering herbs.
Okay, Britt.
We're out to get these Bowmeisters. Herb's a name. Herb is a vegetable.
No, it's a...
Or a spice. I'm sorry. Fuck, I'm a retard too. God damn it. Your contagious bullshit not being able to talk. I fucking hate you. God damn it. Just trying to make you look like an asshole, and I turned it on myself.
And you're fucking not being able to read your fucking shit has affected him.
Oh, I haven't even started not being able to read my shit yet.
No, since episode one, you haven't been able to read.
The second story.
Moving on.
The second story tells of a man and his son out gathering herbs.
Why'd you say that weird?
In the mountains, when the man suddenly,
mountains.
Yes. When the man suddenly heard his son scream and seemed to be paralyzed in the fear, staring at a rock. I don't know, man.
Terror rock.
Scariest fucking rock on the earth.
Must be. Fuck.
The man sprinted to his son only to see a gruesome monster under the rock near his son, which hissed like a snake and had the face of a cat with big, bright eyes.
Now, I wonder if these people realize the fucking cats hiss, too.
I don't know, man.
They do, though.
I'm trying to figure out the bright eyes thing. Like, depending on the time of day, at night you can kind of understand because if you get that light reflection. Yeah,
that's true.
But these people were collecting, herbs, in the daylight on top of a mountain.
Nocturnal herb gatherers?
Dude, I don't know. But no, that's the part that's getting me is, how would the eyes glow?
Yeah.
Or be that bright?
Unless it's a daemon and they get the internal shiny shit.
That's true.
Well, they have a light switch,
Really?
I don't know, man.
Really?
They get glow in the dark shit in their eyes, so they just stare at the sun for a second, then they hide in the. They go back into the shadows. I don't know. I'm just fucking spitballing, just like everybody else.
They flick their high beams on.
Yep.
Well.
Anyway, so the man managed to stab the tetzel worm with a sharpened stick and pierced its flesh easily, but according to the story, the blood of the creature sprayed out and burnt the man's leg, making his journey home long and arduous due to his limp.
Definitely painful if they got that kind of acidy stench spray thing going.
So the theories are that it's like a salamander.
I can get behind that one.
Yeah. Mm.
Or a newt. No. Newts get big.
No Monty Python jokes. Might as well end the fucking show now.
Yeah. Well, they think salamander. They also think maybe Gila monster.
Gila monster. You pronounced that wrong, too, you fool.
I see the. I know. You fuckers.
Don't bring me into this.
Fucker, singular.
They also think maybe a lungfish. I don't know.
Fuck would a lungfish be in the mountains? They're ugly as fuck, though. They really are.
And they're water.
Yep, that's where fish live.
Yep. Hey, you guys are fucking up, so why can't I?
You know what? Well, we're not going to edit this fucking episode.
Welcome back to Chuckle Fuckery 3.0.
So that's pretty much the tetzel worm.
The tetzel worm of insanity.
Yes. And now, Kevin.
Well, before we get to mine, we're actually going to take a real quick break. The Dark Windows Podcast is brought to you by The Great Courses Plus. The Great Courses Plus is a subscription video on-demand service with thousands of in-depth videos taught by some of the world's greatest professors. You'll always have something fascinating to learn about on there. With categories ranging from history to travel and everything in between, there's something for everyone. The courses I'm personally looking forward to the most are the 36-part series on the Vikings and a 24-part series called The Agency, A History of the CIA. If you go over to ageofradio.org/darkwindows, there's an offer to get the Great Courses Plus free for 14 days. Stay ahead in life. Start your access today with 11,000-plus video and audio lectures on a variety of topics. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, we're back.
I feel better.
Right? That was the longest pee I've ever taken. So, for my half of the research this week, I covered something a little bit different.
Can I still make fun of it like we did with his?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes.
Because this one, it's hard to explain because it's not, I don't know. I don't know if it's technically an alien or if it's a monster or what the fuck it is, but it's a weird one.
Okay, cool. This will be fun.
This is actually takes place in a couple of different lakes in the Soviet Union.
You're doing Asian monsters then.
Technically, yes.
Got them.
But whatever.
Anyway.
They don't, yeah, whatever. Anyway. So the first one, it kind of takes place. Poof.
Nipples.
Nipples. And nips. So the first part of this takes place in...
Take plate?
Actually, I said takes plate, so that's fine.
All I heard was take plate.
So the first one takes place in Lake Issyk, which is located in southeastern Kazakhstan, which is the world's number one exporter of potassium. Very nice. Fuck, it's a Borat joke, you assholes. Fuck.
His sister's yeah, that's real three. Timely.
Oh, God damn it. It's still a good movie, though.
That is really timely. Thank you. I'm so happy you brought that up.
Fuck off. It was still a good movie.
High five.
High five. My sister is the number three prostitute in all of Kazakhstan. Very nice. Okay, so the lake is unique in the fact that it's surrounded by very high mountains that are generally about 90% of the time actually covered in ice and snow, but the lake itself doesn't freeze over.
Okay.
So it's often called Issyk Kul, which means warm lake, a nod to the fact that the lake doesn't freeze over.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. The lake is a very deep body of water and is located in the Tian Shan Mountains, which are, again, southeastern Kazakhstan. So the story of this of Mysteries of the Lake goes back thousands of years, but we're going to kind of pick it up in the 1930s with a Russian paranormal researcher by the name of Ilya Grabowski. I wanted to say Grabowski because we have a farm.
Yeah, but like right down the road.
Yeah, it's Grabowski.
Grigabowski.
Grigabowski. Fucking drunk Russian.
Drink some vodka, you'd be fine.
And he had actually heard a few reports of some weird stuff going on around this lake, so he decided to go out and check into it. So Grabowski met up with a local fisherman who told him an interesting story that he and a few of his friends had been fishing in the northeastern shore when the men fishing came across the cave. The local was kind of hesitant at first to tell strangers about the, you know, the weird shit that he had come across.
Obviously so, because he doesn't want to come off sounding like a weirdo.
Yeah,
or
fucking yokel, you know?
Yeah, because, well, you know, we have that everywhere.
Oh, where absolutely.
You always get that one crazy Carl guy.
Yeah.
That always has fun stories. You're just like, oh, God.
So the next day, him, the fisherman and his companions decided to go back to the cave. They decided to go back to the cave the next day, and they wanted to make sure they had the right gear with them, so they ended up bringing torches, ropes, pickaxes, stuff like that, so you can... Because you never know what kind of shit you're going to run into in a cave.
Can you imagine that? They go down in a cave. Did you bring the torches or the fire or anything like that?
Fuck!
So how
God
we gonna,
damn it,
how
Charlie!
How are we going to do this? We'll get some mirrors, we'll make some lights. Bro, it's middle of the night. Fuck.
Let me correct my previous statement. Fuck! In Russian.
Actually? Nope.
So when they reach the innermost part of the cave, they stumbled across three human-like skeletons. The only problems with these skeletons were that all three of them were well over 10 feet tall, and they all had strange bat-shaped silver amulets around their necks. Like,
what the fuck were they, the engineers?
That was my first thought.
Aliens. Prometheus.
Yeah.
Asshole.
But they were first seen in Alien.
That's true. Oh. So... the interesting part is that there had been sightings of bat-shaped UFOs in the area for hundreds of years, which that's a weird one. I've heard of a lot of different, like, different-shaped UFOs. I've never heard bat-shaped. That one's very specific and kind of weird.
Hmm.
Another local tale from, I'm going to butcher the fuck out of this, the Kryggs people, it's K-R-Y-G-Y-Z. So Kryggs, I don't.
Sure.
Kazakhstani people. They tell of a sunken city that was in the lake that's actually controlled by King Osunias, who was, quote, a giant with long ears. My first thought was Dobby, but real tall.
Oh. You know, did he get a sock?
Locals gave Dobby a sock.
Yeah.
So the man that met with Grabowski was so scared by the discovery that he didn't tell anyone about what they'd found. But they did take the amulets with them. They melted down the silver and sold it, except for a really like small piece that the fisherman had kept, kind of like as a keepsake kind of thing.
Mm.
Grabowski was able to get the piece of silver from the man and had it tested by Soviet scientists who couldn't determine the age or the whereabouts from where it actually came. Because with like metals and stuff like that, even back then, they could kind of...
When was this again?
The 1930s.
Oh, yeah. So this is definitely before carbon dating.
Right. But they could still get like a general
idea
of where it was from, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
If this had happened nowadays, they could have fucking pinpointed it to like a 10-mile area of where the silver came from. So Grabowski was intrigued by the story, so he started digging further into it. He went through local archives and found that in the mid-1800s, a men of Georgian boys, Georgia was, it's a country, obviously.
Yeah.
It was part of the Russian Empire at that point in time. They were hunting for mussels in the lake, and they found an underwater cave entrance. So, doing what boys do, they
all explore it.
Yeah, exactly. Dive down in, go and check it out. These guys found more giant human remains. Unfortunately, that's kind of where this part of the tale ends, because Grabowski never found the cave. And or maybe, you know, maybe he did and just didn't say anything because he didn't want to.
Was he still alive after this event?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was one of those ones where you had one of those moments. He went exploring and then came up missing, and then he's never been heard of or seen from.
No, it's his findings in it. Most of the stuff was never shared publicly.
But keep it under wraps.
Exactly. This could have been one of those things where this was kind of the beginning of the Soviet Union kind of deal, where, you know, maybe he wanted to keep the scientific mindset and he didn't want to tell anybody and then have the military go there and fucking smoke these fish people. So, that's my thought, at least, is maybe he's trying to protect the mystery.
Yeah, man. Deal,
you know?
Like that town that said they saw that weird flying dumb idiot thing and come to find out. I think it's just all those businessmen were trying to save their town.
Oh, Van Meter.
Yeah, Van Meter, Peter Beater.
In the 1980s, Issyk Lake became the main testing area for Soviet torpedoes and underwater weaponry. It was also one of the training areas for Soviet recon divers known as frogmen.
Okay.
And I did put in parentheses here, allow for at least 5 minutes of frogmen jokes, but we're not going to do that. The frogmen also trained in Lake Baikal, which is 1,559 miles to the northeast. Lake Baikal is the world's oldest and deepest freshwater lake at well over a mile deep.
Holy shit.
This is also the same lake that they have pictures of what they believe to be a spacecraft at the bottom of it that looks exactly like the fucking Millennium Falcon.
No way.
Swear to God. So during a training exercise, the Soviet scuba men came across the most bizarre thing they'd ever come across. The divers came face to face with a group of 10-foot tall, silver-clad humanoids swimming at a depth of more than 150 feet. I had fun with this. To their Soviet surprise, the divers didn't see anything on the mysterious creatures resembling breathing equipment. The only thing that the creatures had on their heads were sphere-like helmets that concealed their faces. So, basically, they had like...
Mysterio. He had a fishbowl.
Yeah, I'm thinking fishbowls. Boop, you know? Huh. Like the fucking dumb squirrel in SpongeBob. Anyway.
Sandy?
Yeah.
She needed that.
Squirrels don't belong underwater. They're fucking tree rats. They're not water rats.
Point proven.
So, of course, after the run-in with the underwater critters, the Soviet government decided they needed to capture one of these beasts, of course, for science.
Of course.
They sent 7 men to the area, including Afghan War veteran, the Soviet Afghan War, not ours, because he would have had to go back in time to do that. And he also would have had to been Russian, which they weren't when we were there.
Move on.
Allegedly.
Move on.
But the man's name was, remember I told you it was, we weren't done mispronouncing shit? Mark Scheitenberg, S-H-T-E-Y-N.
Scheitenberg.
I think it's Scheitenberg is where I'm going with that one.
Shitty hamburger. Scheitenberg.
At a Scheitenberger. I think it'd be a bad Scottish burger, wouldn't it?
Or just they're drunk and they try to make a hamburger and it didn't work out. I love you, Scotland.
Wait a minute. You're trying to say the Scots are alcoholics?
No.
I don't believe that for a second.
Not at all.
Okay. Scheitenberg had extensively researched this case. He went on to say, as the frogmen tried to cover the creature with a net, the entire team was propelled out of the deep water to the surface by a powerful force. Because...
Fus Roda! Fus!
Fuckers go flying up.
Sorry.
Because autonomous equipment of the frogmen does not allow surfacing from such depths without strict adherence to the procedure of decompression stops, all the members of the ill-fated expedition were stricken by... aeroembolism,
Oh, yeah, dude. That will fucking kill them if they're not careful. Which
is the bends. Yeah. You come up too fast and your gases get all fucked up in your guts.
So they have to go into a decompression chambers.
Yeah.
Put you back down into that and then raise you back up slowly?
Well, no. What I think what they do is they put them into like a cabin kind of thing and it's like pressurized.
Yeah, it pushes.
It's like an iron lung.
It puts you back down to the whatever pressure and then brings you back up.
Oh, I thought you meant like they put them back underwater and everything. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, ass.
You motherfuckers came up here way too fast. Get your asses back down there.
Go and down and do it right.
And we're going to bring you up slowly. Slowly.
You come up fast one more time.
Don't make me turn the Soviet car around.
I don't really think you can turn around.
Well, Soviet cars don't fucking work at all, man. So
they only go forwards.
We have reverse engineering here.
We have two gears. First.
And faster.
And park.
Park is when we hit something to make it stop.
The only remedial.
I love Russians.
The only remedial treatment available consisted of an immediate confinement under decompression conditions, as we just said, in a pressure chamber. They had several such pressure chambers in the military region, but only one in working condition, because it's the Soviets.
Duh.
It could contain no more than two persons at a time. Those local commanders had forced four frogmen into the chamber. As a result, three of them, including the commanding officer of the group, perished, and the rest became invalids. So whatever this thing was that fucking...
Why? I don't understand that.
Maybe there wasn't enough room in the chamber, and it just fucked him up.
Hey, quick pause. What's the plural person?
Persons.
People.
Well,
two people.
He said it as persons, and I was doing a quote.
Well, he's fucking Russian, so you can't take that. You know. Sorry, just had to get that in there. I was like, you fucker.
It could contain no more than two vodkas. These local vodkas had forced four vodkas into chamber. As a result, three of them had become drank.
Ah, so you end up with one big vodka.
They became borscht. Human borscht. Oh, fucking beet stew is disgusting, by the way. As a result of the incident, the USSR Dive Service Commander, Major General Demyanko, flew to the area to talk to local military commanders about the dangers of trying to capture these water critters. But his fucking arms were tired when he got there. So this kind of goes to show that the Soviet high command had a knowledge of these weird things that were in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So not long after that, the engineer forces of the Ministry of Defense issued a bulletin addressed to the staff headquarters of the Turkmenistan...
Is that real, Turkmenistan?
Yeah, Turkmenistan. It's a real place.
Oh, okay.
Oops, it's one of the many stands in the area. Of the military area.
Wow. Got it in.
The bulletin noted many other lakes with similar aquatic humanoid sightings had been reported alongside the usual flying discs and spheres ascending from the deep areas of the lake. Yeah, just the usual shit, you know, fucking... crafts fucking shooting out of the water. It's a normal thing. So this led us to believe this led to them believing the incident at Lakes Baikal and Issyk were not singular events, but rather expressions of a bigger phenomenon of this
bigger
shit being,
event.
Yeah, of this being a fairly regular thing for lakes in the area, which is kind of weird to think about. So the realistic of this incident is supported by the administration of Russian writer Mikhail Demidenko. After becoming famous with Scheithberg's account in 1992, Demidenko remembered spending some time at Lake Baikal in the mid-80s on an assignment from the USS Union of Writers. And a lot of shit for everything back then, didn't they?
Well, yeah, even with our country, there's a department for everything.
Fuck, dude.
There's always going to be a department for everything because as soon as something pops up, they need to create a department over it so that way there's more than just one governing body to handle it.
Yeah.
And then there's more ways to spend money.
Because the governments can't keep their dicks in their pants. They got to put it in everybody.
Pretty much.
It was there that Irkts...
nipples.
Irktusk finished... I'm trying to pronounce this word and I fucking... It was there that local fishermen told him... how they saw Soviet divers being thrown out of the water and continuing their ascent to a height of 30 to 50 feet above the water's surface.
Shenanigans.
So that was those guys that got launched out of the water?
Yeah.
Went somewhere between 30 to 50 feet out of the water, and they were down fairly deep.
I call shenanigans on that.
Launched. The fishermen didn't know about the underwater humanoid episode and had been wondering why the Soviet military subjected their divers to such weird tests of underwater explosives.
Holy shit, this must be great vodka.
No, these guys thought that the military was testing underwater explosives on their own people and fucking just fucking launching them out of the water.
You know they probably
they're just like, trying to film for a movie.
They're probably like, Yevgeny, great vodka.
It's fucking weird. Those guys had no cables or anything. They just went fucking flying. Someone needs to pay these stuntmen better.
In Mother Russia, fish for humans with explosives.
In Soviet Russia, fish human with dynamite.
Hey, Boris, how far do you think we can launch Sergei and Ivan? I don't know how much dynamite you have. 13 kilos. Pretty fucking far. Let's do this.
Yeah, duh.
Lord Tachanka loves it.
So these stories make me think of a similar story from that was first kind of told by Japanese fishermen back in the 60s in the Antarctic. We all know what they're fishing for. They're whaling ships.
You do the new.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. But this is from back in the 60s. They told stories of seeing aquatic humanoids somewhere between 20 to 30 meters long, which would put him in the area of 64 to 100 feet in length.
Oh, I was thinking like mermans.
Kind of, sort of.
But were that big? Ooh, boy.
But these things, instead of being what you'd think of as a mermaid with, like, you know, the fucking fish ass on them, these were just white, like almost translucent, human-shaped things in the water.
Yeah.
So some of the sightings... I should go back. Some of the reports even say that they had seen facial features like mouths and eyes, no ears or nose or anything like that.
Yeah.
Some of the sightings people had said they say that they've actually seen five-fingered hands and either legs or mermaid-like fins.
Holy shit.
There's even one shot of these things from Google Earth off the coast of Namibia.
No way.
I'm kind of curious. I want to try to dig that up. But these things are called ninjin, is what the Japanese fishermen called them. And that's just Japanese for human. So it's kind of weird that you get similar reports of stuff like that from different parts of the world with societies that may not necessarily have been communicating with each other very well during those time periods.
Pyramids, you know, you have pyramids in Egypt, and then what, thousands of miles away to the west, you have pyramids in Mexico.
I would have put it closer to dragons.
Or, well, no, dragons.
Yep.
In, you have the same thing, dragons in Mexico. Well,
yeah.
Is it Mexico?
Yeah, Quetzalcoatl is technically kind of a dragon thing.
Yeah. Well,
Mexico. I heard that name the other day, not too long ago.
Really?
Quetzalcoatl? Yeah. On the horror movie Q.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
That, and then you had the dragons in China.
And let's not forget Europe.
Europe, Japan. Yeah. Everywhere has had...
Exactly. And it's one of those things where I've got a weird...
Like, what, the one common thing that like almost everywhere has, I guess?
Yeah.
Has stories of?
I've got a weird theory with that, and it goes into... like the flood myths and shit like that, but we'll talk about that at a different episode. But yeah, that's what I've got on the weird Russian water people. Yeah,
It's a merman.
It's a merkin. It's a dickwig. Wait, is a merkin a dickwig, or is that for a vagina?
Vagina cap.
Okay, what's a peckerwig then?
Peckerwig.
I'm gonna start an online company selling peckerwigs.
Hey, Peckerwig.
Oh, shit. It's going to be all bowl cuts, too. Your dick looking like one of the Three Stooges would be fucking awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. What a mo.
That's right. Anyway.
Well, that was informative.
I think that's what we got for this week. Do we want to talk about next week? a little bit? Give them a heads up? I think we should. Just give them, kind of get an idea of what we're doing.
I'll give them a little taste of what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Some great last stands.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, kids.
You guys are going to like this one.
We're not going to talk about the usual like 300 and all those other bullshit ones. We're gonna go a little outside the box.
Yeah, 300.
Greek bros. how many of you need to stop these Persians?
One spot fuck. A kick, kid.
I don't know, dude. 300?
300? You mean 300? Yeah.
Send us like 12 bushel. 12 bushel of Spartans will cover them. There's 54 in a bushel.
Make sure they do all their leg squats. You know that? We got to have a good spot of kick every once in a while.
You can only send them if they got sick abs and British accents. Otherwise, it ain't going
to work. Scottish. One was Scottish.
One of them was Scottish, yeah. The rest of them are fucking British.
Oh.
Excuse you. Muscle up on me, you little shit.
Yeah, the last stands.
Yeah, this one's going to be good.
So... was the last stand.
Speaking of last stands.
I was waiting. I was wondering where you're going there. Mr. H.
If you have had it with your current headphones and you are on your last stand with your current headphones, go to studio.com. Find something you like there, throw them in your cart, put Dark Windows in. I'm sorry. Put Dark Windows 15 in at the checkout and the promo code.
At the promo.
Fuck you.
You started off so good. Your transition was flawless.
And they will take 15% off of your entire order.
Yeah.
Speaking of taking percentages off, it's not quite as much, but it's still a good fucking deal. Seth.
Not a great deal. It's a fucking awesome deal.
I said it was a good deal.
Awesome deal. Okay. You know why? Because Game Envy, that's why. Great place for if you or anybody else you know is into painting miniatures because there's... you know, a wide variety of us folk out there that like to paint miniatures, and you may know somebody that is into it. And you're like, you know what? I need to get them a cool little Easter gift. That's when you head over to Game Envy.
Ishtar gift.
Yeah, Ishtar gift. And you pick out some cool stuff over there, like the Hobby Holder, Brush Bastion, Paint Puck, all that variety of stuff I keep talking about day in and day out. Put in the promo code Broadstone at your checkout when you have all that stuff in there, and you'll save yourself 10% off the entire order. Now, I said it before. I'll say it again. If you are thinking about getting into a game system, whether it be card game, board game, miniature game, head on over to Dicehead.com. Dicehead.com is a great little one-stop shop for all the different type of miniatures. If you're like into D&D and you want to get some of the Reaper models, or if you want to get into Warhammer, Age of Sigmar, or whatever, Dicehead. Dicehead Games has all the variety of miniature games, board games, card games, and they also have comic books and other amazing collectibles. While you're there, if you have, you know, miniatures you're trying to get rid of and you don't know what to do with them and you don't want to go onto Craigslist or eBay because you know you don't want to get screwed over in your prices, Dicehead has also the miniature trade-in program. The miniature trade-in program, all you got to do is take some simple pictures, send them an email, wait a couple days because what they're going to do is they're going to price out everything and then they'll email you back with one of the best, if not the best price that you can get. Now, that is awesome. Because you can put that trade-in credit towards a new game system or new comics or whatever. Does not matter. And I can say that because I've used it. Kevin C's used it. And a variety of other people have used it.
You know what they don't sell for collectibles, though?
Hmm.
Those stupid plates that people put up on their walls. And it's probably a good thing because that's dumb. Or collectible spoons.
Oh, dude, don't talk about spoons. My sister used to collect those. Weird. And I stole one of them, bent it, and threw it away. I was like, ha.
People used to do that, man.
It's so weird.
Yeah. So, with all that being said... you bunch of beautiful dickheads. We love you.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm sticking with that, man. I've been watching Aussie Man reviews. Fuck yeah. Destination fucked. You too.
Fair dinkum.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. That was brutal.
Ouch.
So, yeah. All right.
Wait, if we're going Australian, you big red cunt. Yeah.
Yeah.
They call everything that, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
So we're either going to get yelled at for that. Or...
I doubt it.
Our fans are awesome.
Are they going to say, Kevin, you're a twat?
The casual fans, you know, they come in and, you know, they try it and it's not for them. But our real diehard fans, they love it. They'll keep coming back for more. And you know what? We have a Patreon. sign up for that because we have some sweet little swag bag stuff, that goodies there.
Go to patreon.com/darkwindows.
Boom. Also, what is a good way to get a hold of us, Kevin H?
You can email us at darkwindowspod@gmail.com.
Hell yeah.
Or you can go on to Facebook. You can find us on there with only one, Dark Windows Podcast.
Yes, sir.
You can go on to the Instagram, Dark Windows Pod. We're on there. And we're on Twitter.
Which we don't
Dark
use.
Not too much. Dark Windows Pod as well.
Because you guys are so fucking old, you don't accept technology.
Maybe. So if you're on Dark in the Facebook, you'll get Kevin or I.
They get it. You're not going to get me because I'm not on Facebook.
But where can they find you on Instagram?
Broadstone_creations, kids. That's where you can see me painting miniatures and other random shit that I post pictures of.
And his shit is pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, it is. And you can also go over to ageofradio.org. Check out all the different shows on there.
/darkwindows.
If you go /darkwindows, it takes you right to us. But if you go to ageofradio.org, you can check out all the other shows on the
network. Hit up that bazaar, kids.
You can go to the bazaar and you can get
on it.
Awesome deals on stuff on there.
Microsoft.
Yep. Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble. And other stuff. Oh. I only know of on it because that's where I'm going to get some stuff. Because now I'm like, ooh, I got discounts now.
Monkey kettlebells, buddy.
Yeah. No, dude, I'm going Star Wars. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but they got a fucking awesome Boba Fett one.
His backpack has jets.
Yeah, yeah, and he's still alive.
And so if you're on our Age of Radio page, you can listen to all of our episodes on there. And you can check out some of the
other great shows.
Great shows, like you said. Also, you can find us on pretty much everywhere. On our page tells where you can find us at.
So tell some friends, kids.
Yeah.
Tell us friends.
Rate, review us.
Rate, review, all that good stuff.
And I will say this. If you're looking for a true crime podcast, look no further than Age of Radio because we got a lot of really good ones.
Or if you're looking for
We're not one of them, but we got a lot of good ones on there.
Hey, and if you're a sports fanatic, you like sports, there's another one you can check out. It's on there.
Who's that? It's
Diamonds and Roses podcast. My brother.
Hey, this is Kevin from the future or past. I don't know exactly how that works. I'm not a time scientist. Just jumping in here because I wanted to let everybody know we had a little bit of a technical snag. I'm not sure what happened, but we lost about 40 seconds worth of audio with some really, really weird, like, screeching and high-pitched shit. I'm not sure what happened. I did save a little bit of it, but I think what we missed was Kevin talking about his brother's show, Diamonds and Roses, which is also on Age of Radio. It's a baseball podcast based out of the Portland, Oregon area. They've had some pretty cool interviews on there. And I think I missed a little bit of talking about Color Me Dead. Color Me Dead is one of the best true crime podcasts I've ever listened to. I'm not just saying that because we're on the same network as them. They put in so much work for it. So, go over to ageofradio.org and check out both those shows. So I'm going to try to put back in whatever I can that I can save at the end of this. Hopefully I didn't lose too much. Anyway, goodbye from the past or future or wherever the fuck I am. I don't know. I don't know where I am anymore. It's amazing the amount of research that they put into stuff with their full, you know, their regular lives with, you know, everything with kids and work and everything. They're fucking awesome.
Just all right. Well, if you guys are fucking plugging podcasts, go listen to Justin Remmel's Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Blood and Dust is fucking awesome.
Mysterious Circumstances.
Oh.
There you go. Now there we all go. Plug the show.
Cool.
Now, in the mortal words of someone famous, fuck off, let's leave.
Yep. Let's make like a tree and get the fuck out of here.
So, hey, people in glass houses sink ships.
Yes, they does.
Just because you can't see out in the dark?
What the fuck are you doing?
Sorry.
Hey, you want to take two steps off my dick, please?
Yeah, you don't steal people's gimmicks.
One, two.
Thank you. Your feet are still pretty close to it, though.
My feet aren't that big.
No, but my dick is. Just because you can't see out into the dark...
What?
I so expected you to interrupt me, you fuckers.
Nope, we're letting it go.
Just because you can't see out into the dark.
There's not a springy worm coming out your butt.
Motherfucker. Just because you can't see out into the dark.
There's this guy standing with, you know, his little merman.
Merkin. Just because you can't see out into the dark.
You're not being launched 25 feet in the air out of the water.
I think water dragons would have to do that, though.
That's true.
Or you'd have to learn words from water dragons. fuck, Skyrim 6 is going to be great.
Hope it's going to be a lot better than fucking Mortal Kombat, that fucking garbage pit.
Anyway, fuck Mortal Kombat. Just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean that the dark can't see into you.
Love you. Kisses.
Toodaloo.
Fuss!